Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is in the TV recommend show.
Hello, and welcome to Show Me Magic, Albums of the Year So Far special. Yeah, a special version of our usual podcast. This week, we are going to discuss our favourite 10 albums of the year in no order, and maybe play some of those tracks from those albums. How you doing, Jim?
I'm all right, you, Bill?
Not too bad. Just getting to grips with the new format here. New one-off format.
Well, two-off, probably.
So these are our 10 albums of the year in no particular order. We're going to do the first five today. We're going to have tracks from each of the albums. So I'm going to kick off with... This is Beach Bunny, and this is Dream Boy.
Sometimes I think I see a ghost. In passing hallways, the staircase to my apartment, I accidentally self-impose. Natural thoughts, careless wants, emotional involvement.
Chicago band led by Lily Trifilo. I think that's how you say her name.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And they encapsulate the highs and lows of the honeymoon stage of the relationship. Yeah. And this is from their new album, Honeymoon, which came out this year. Kind of the start of the year. And I like it because it's sort of short, sharp, to the point, joyous, bittersweet, lovelorn, and above all, catchy. And kind of a garage punky poppy element to it. The vocals are really hooky. And listen to the album. We actually did a listening party on one of these music forums I'm on for the album. And it only lasts about half an hour. And not every song's a belter, to be honest. You know, they're all very tuneful. It's not very taxing on the mind, but it's very uplifting, you know, kind of head nodding, dancing fair. Basically, what did you think of that one, Jim?
It's one of these bands that I've heard of before, but I hadn't really investigated too much on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't entirely sure when I first listened to whether or not this lot were American or not. So I had to look it up because there's points when she does actually sound like she's English. Her son of singing style is kind of quite sort of UK sounding. There's no real accent to it. But then all of a sudden she'll float into it. So sometimes you think, well, we do that all the time, a lot of us. Suddenly turn into that they're a band from New York or Chicago, but almost like it's quite weird. She's got quite a weird accent in it. It's almost like a bit of Australian in there as well. Yeah, it's quite sort of got that anthemic, but sort of quite rough around the edges kind of sound. Sort of bit. Sort of it's very that's kind of a sort of American sounding, but also
early Olvays. You know them, Olvays.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me a bit of that.
Or is it Olvays?
I just say Olvays.
Is it Olvays?
But it's double V, isn't it?
Yeah,
the old Google.
That's,
I think
got something to do with the Google thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So it does get on my nerves.
Olvays, Olvays.
Well, this is it. If you're calling yourself Olvays and you've got to do double V because no one will be able to Google it, call yourself something else.
This one is probably a bit more, and obviously it's called Dream Boy, and there's probably a bit of dream pop in it, you know, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Like in it's sort of the verses and stuff like that.
There's a punky element to it.
Yeah, they're a garage punk band, really. I mean, each song is only like 3 or 4 minutes, really, each one, and it breezes by. It's fun, and it's kind of one of those albums that stuck with me, and there's no fat on it. It's just
It's a short, sharp burst.
Yeah, it's just fun, really. And considering I can't have the best because it's not out yet. This is my substitute.
It's out Friday, isn't it? Well, the 10th of June, whenever you're going to be listening. So, July, 10th of July.
Yeah. That might feature in a end of year special that I think it might do.
Yeah, I mean we're both pretty hyped up on the best.
So this is kind of like, you know, in that vein, I'd say.
A replacement, a substitution at the last minute because they're not allowed.
Yeah, and I think it's worth checking out. And they're like, yeah, they are one of those like blogger bands, and they're on Bandcamp and all that.
I thought that we're going to be something from like the West Coast or something because it's a beach bunny. I mean, there's no beaches in Chicago? Maybe on a beach.
I've got no idea what that refers to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I mean,
song seems to be about a relationship, basically, different stages of the relationship.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's Beach Bunny. Over to you, Jim, for your first pick of the podcast, first album of the podcast.
My first album of my 10 in no particular order is The Wants, and their album is called Container, but this track is called The Motor.
Thank you.
they obviously I don't know if I've spoken about this lot on the pod before. I sort of can't remember now. I don't know whether we've included anything, but we might have done.
No, I don't think
16 we've down the line. We may have them, but maybe not. But yeah, they're Brooklyn based. They consist of two fifths of Bodega, which people might be a bit more familiar with. We've been doing the rounds for a while. And they have just done their first album under the once, and this The Motor is a brilliant song. It's not necessarily completely indicative of the rest of the album, because this has got a very motoric rhythm and very kind of, it's like just an indicative of a motor, a car journey or something like that. And it's a brilliant, it's infectious, and you can't really sit still listening to it either. But they've got that kind of it's very kind of New York for me. They describe themselves as being kind of like a universally American kind of album. And because I think he's from Chicago, actually. Lead singer, lead guitar, the guitarist and singer whose name has escaped me. So I'm going to quickly Google it whilst I'm talking rubbish. Madison Velding Van Dam. That's it.
Wow, what a name.
Guitarist and producer for Bodega. And this is his thing. He's been going on for just as long, but it's just taking him forever to get to this point. But I think he's from Chicago or Detroit. But they're all Brooklyn based, New York based. So, but yeah, I just think it's a very New York album, and it's brilliant as well. There's lots of little sort of vignettes, sort of interlude-y bits in the album as well, with some really classic classic singles on there as well. Fear My Society, probably the biggest single they released off it, which is a really good song. I saw them in February. It feels like one of those bands that I saw just before lockdown, but it was probably, you know, a month or so before. But, you know, everything, you know, the time has turned into, it's all been sucked into a black hole, and it's just one constant Groundhog Day, and I can't remember what happened last week. So it was sometime earlier this year. I think it was this year. I'm pretty sure it was this year. But yeah, and they were brilliant, really, at the Lexington. So, well, I hope the Lexington is going to survive now. We've had the news that the Boris and the Bellends are going to be giving $1.5 billion or whatever it is to for everyone. It's obviously the arts. The
theater. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see
how it gets broken
down. It's good news. I mean, we talked about it, didn't we, on a previous podcast about 50 million and stuff. So it's, to be honest, I wasn't expecting that much, but it does seem to be like they've bundled it all into one big arts thing, haven't they? So we'll see how it breaks down and who gets what and who's the winners and losers. But yeah, it's better than nothing. And they've done something. So you have to, you know, appreciate that. But I just worry that, you know, they let the music play campaign did really well, didn't it? And highlighting the need for saving of venues and grassroots, even theatres are closing, some of them, I noticed. But I think considering that we're not going to have live music well into next year, it looks like, I think, you know, it's still going to be difficult for venues.
It's weird, isn't it?
With this funding.
I've just seen today that there's been a festival announced in a load of bands like Shame and Fontaine's DC and Squid and stuff like that are playing in Belgium or France, I think it was, that they've announced it for October. I mean, I don't know whether they're a hell of a lot further ahead than us.
Well, they are. They've done a hell of a lot better in controlling the virus than the UK government. That's the point, isn't it?
Do they want us going over there and creating the problem?
But the reason the government have now stopped all the daily press conferences is they don't want people to realise that it's still quite a lot of deaths every day, hundreds of deaths every day, you know? And we're well behind the rest of the EU, you know? They don't want people to, you know, keep reminded of that. Hence, all the pubs are open and blah, blah, you know. Anyway, so let's not go into politics. Meant to be albums of the year. I enjoyed that track particularly. I've heard a couple of tracks, and some of the stuff was a bit more electronic, I'd say, that I heard.
Yeah.
I like this one. And it's interesting you said they're from Brooklyn, because I did get a kind of like television element to it, some of it. Yeah. I quite like the propulsive driving nature of that track, and it kind of speeds down the highway. I like it a lot. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
I'd definitely investigate more of the album.
I would. Yeah, Contain. It's very, very good. It's one of the ones that.
Yeah, and I haven't. I've been going for this podcast. Been going through all the like album lists, you know, so far this year and stuff, and listen to all the albums, see if there's any that kind of could make it into my list and stuff. I didn't see this mentioned at all, so it's a good recommendation, really.
Very much a whole, the album. It's been a labour of love for Madison, I think. So he's been doing it for a while, and it's very much to say with the incidental vignettes and stuff like that that sort of mix it all together. I mean, I think it might only still be 10 tracks long, but it does motor along, if you excuse the pun. But it's really good. It's sort of very cohesive. And works as like a whole project rather than, you know, an individual group of songs. Like sometimes album can feel like, which is what I like about it.
It's almost like a soundtrack to a noir film, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
Or a B movie or something like that. Like, that's what I thought, anyway. Anyway, moving on. So that's the Once Container. My next album is by Eyebreak Horses. And this is from her album Warnings, which came out earlier this year on Bella Union. This is I'll Be the Death of You. We'll be right back. Yeah, so this one is quite representative of the album, a tapestry of beats and synth loops and beautiful vocals. And yeah, I really love the album and I wrote about it. I did a little interview with her. It's her third album from Maria Linden, who is a Swedish artist. And she is basically I Break Horses with one other person. And she said each song is a subtle warning of something being not quite right. And I thought it was quite prescient at this time, you know, surreal, alarmist times we've been going through with the pandemic and lockdown and everything. The album's really strong. Every song's really good. There's just a lot of textures and she really loves a loop, electronic loops and stuff. Yeah. We played one of the other songs, Death Engine, which is definitely more like, you know, more verging on ballad territory. Not really, but, you know, more sedate, I'd say.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Stuff. Yeah.
Like this one has got more of like a Goldfrapp almost element to it, I think. Yeah, it's just a fantastic album from start to finish. And I don't think it'll be one of those that'll be on a lot of the end of year lists. So I thought I'd recommend it as well.
In a good way, it sort of almost feels a little claustrophobic, if that makes sense. It's very, it's sort of almost like an insular album as well. I mean, whilst it's kind of anthemic, it sort of feels quite...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, I do really enjoy it, especially, I think this is probably my favourite from the album. I haven't listened to the album a huge amount, but because we had them on the pod, like you said, Death Engine was from one of the earlier ones, I think we did. And so I did listen to the album when it came out, and I did enjoy it. But it's one of those ones, yeah, it's sort of, you've got to be sort of in the mood for it as well, though, I think.
It's a headphones album.
It's very much so.
And she even said one of the tracks... is trying to give a glimpse of hope to all outsiders who feel like they can't find their way and show the world being a misfit is a beautiful thing, not something to be pushed aside. So it is a very, it's very introspective and very, but also quite like, it's almost got like inner worlds to it. If you see what I mean, the more you listen to it, the more different textures and
it works. Well, yeah. Like I said, cause it's a headphone album, that's kind of the feel. Like claustrophobic isn't necessarily the right word, cause that sounds sort of negative, but it's almost like, you know, like makes you feel quite closed in. It's sort of almost an album you play in the dark, but yeah, I mean, I really love this song. I'll be there for you. Cause there's so many layers of it as well.
Yeah. Sometimes it's almost psychedelic, isn't it? It's almost psychedelic the way it's.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of that sort of constant sort of, beat going on at the back.
Loops,
and the loop of it. But yeah, that's probably one of my favourite songs of the album. I wasn't entirely sure of what the album names before you provided the song titles we're going to choose. Yeah, that was one of my favourites. No, I really enjoyed that.
It's in my top five. So back to you, Jim.
Right. My next choice is from Laura Marling, from her album Song for Our Daughter. This is Fortune.
You took out that money that your mama had saved. She told me she kept it for running away. Oh my, fortunes can change. You've picked up some tricks that you learned on your way. Fear you'd be lonely if you never changed. Oh my, you lost your faith. We landed on rocks and that's partly to blame. We wandered the landscape in this unbearable pain. Oh my, your fortune can change. At least we agree that we've wasted our time. We'll give up the hope that we'll meet down the line. Better off measured in coffee and wine. I'll think on it fondly now the truth can be told. Some love is ancient and it lives on in your soul, a fortune that never grows old. You spent all that money that your mama had saved. Told me she kept it for running away. Never quite found the right way to say I'm sorry, my darling, my mind, it has been changed. Release me from this unbearable pain. And so ends a story I had hoped to change. Had to release us from this unbearable pain and promise we won't come here again.
So yeah, this is Laura Marling. I think most people will know this, but it was a surprise that she decided to release this very much early, much earlier than she anticipated. This was going to be a August-September album, but she brought it forward because she didn't really see the point in not, when a lot of bands and acts were holding back and not being able to promote things properly, not being able to tour them and things like that. And a lot of occasions, the vinyls and the physical versions of the album, things like that, weren't available and they were all being put back because obviously production of it. But she brought it forward to April, so quite early doors as well into lockdown. I think it was something like the 10th of April. And it's a very soothing album as a whole. It's very stripped back for her. Previous album, Semper Femina, was quite, almost experimental for her as well. It was less the normal folk that you normally anticipate from Laura Marling. But this is very much a stripped back affair, although all done before any of this. So it wasn't a case of, needs must. It was just the way they all came out. And it is a beautiful album. It's sort of very calming, very soothing. And, one of my favourites of the year, certainly. Again, this is probably one of my top fives because, the walls closing in, anxiety of lockdown and not being able to move, especially in April, May time. So it certainly did me a lot of good and kept me a bit sane. So, and it's probably one of her best as far as I'm concerned. But Fortune is quite almost like a heartbreaking song. Lyrically sort of tells a tale of... a lot of it's going to be about a mother and a child and thing, that kind of thing. Obviously, she's coming from a perspective of not having had children, but this, it's just the instrumentation, the music, especially to most of this album, is beautiful and just some of the best she's written, as far as I'm concerned. So maybe a bit too obvious and high profile, but it was never going to not be included in my list.
I thought there was quite a 70s sort of singer-songwriter atmosphere to it. Yeah. Quite wistful and very mature. But then she's always been way above the years, hasn't she, Laura Marling? I just remember her sounding like an old soul, even when she had her first album out. So that's kind of, not a very original thing to say about her. But I just got that kind of almost classical folk pop
thing.
It's very... 70s kind of... The production, I suppose, is it's quite subtle, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Ethan Johns again, who has done a lot of them, and obviously he's been around for just as long. But her heroes are Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, Neil Young.
So I was thinking of Joni Mitchell, but I wasn't going to mention him.
Yeah, exactly.
I was getting that.
it's going to be integral to her sound. So yeah, she's not necessarily, and she only hasn't sort of gone far from that, you know, footprint as she thought. But yeah, it's sort of nearer to what she was doing early doors, I'd say. I mean, she sort of has gone as far as dismissing some of her first album. She doesn't necessarily feel like it's her, you know, it's not indicative of who she is as an artist now. And that's probably my favourite album by her as well. Because like you said, anyone listening to that for the first time, would they have known that was a 17-year-old writing and recording that? Oh. She was 18 when it came out. It's just, you know,
but I suppose in a way that could be the criticism of Lorna Marlin in it, slightly, you know, that it's almost like it's too good. does it make sense? Like, it's almost like she just came out fully formed, didn't she? Almost like just so good. And so that could be some people's criticism. I mean, I do like her, but you know, I'm just saying from some people's point of view, it depends on your taste, doesn't it? What kind of folky sound you like?
Going to be maligned a little bit because, you know, when she first started, Marcus Mumford was a drummer. And, you know, she did a thing with Noah and the Whale. Charlie Fink from Noah and the Whale produced that debut album. And
things like that. It's like nepotism, you know.
Well, and she's going to be lumped in with kind of, you know, the Mumford and Son bashing, which has certainly been perfectly acceptable. And, you know, there's been no reason not to lambast them for the crap they've been producing recently. But, I think she's going to be sort of lumped in with that and a bit maligned maybe and seen as kind of being a bit upper class maybe because where she's from and everything.
You could criticise anyone, though, couldn't you? I mean, really talented people, you know, they sort of attract each other, don't they? So, you know, you could look at it two ways, can't you?
Exactly.
Anyway. You've recommended her. It was one of your albums of the year so far. So moving on. Uh-huh. Back to me, isn't it?
To you?
To me. I wasn't going to do it then, but Kid Smoke, yeah. A Vision in the Dark, Libertina. This only came out in June. So this is Kid Smoke with Higher.
Leave without me.
Yeah, Higher. I think it might be a single in the future because I really love the just the soaring melodies and the guitars. It's quite uplifting as well. Reminds me slightly of, I don't like using comparisons, you know that, but it reminds me slightly of the Lotus Eaters. Do you remember them? Is it the first picture of summer? It was that single anyway that they had. It reminds me of that slightly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it could be like the perfect soundtrack to a rom-com or a Netflix series or something like that, or a film, you know. It's just really cinematic. And the album's just, you know, all in that vein, really.
It's very
power pop. But it's got elements of like American and guitar music and British guitar music from like from the 80s into the 90s, I'd say. Just all different elements, I'd say. Kidsmoke are a Wrexham-based band headed by Lance Williams and Sophie Bellamy. They've had quite a few singles over the years. I mean, I look back and the original version of this came out in 2013. Yeah, and I just think it's a beautiful album. There's lots of beautiful textures in it and a lot of the songs are about love and, you know, love lorn and holding on to love. And She Takes You Under is also about therapy as well, about, you know, going to see a therapist and dealing with your own demons and stuff. So there's also that side to it. I mean, we played another track, didn't we, before Bluest Year. We played The Bluest Year before. And that was much more shoegazy, I'd say, or elements of shoegazy.
Yeah.
But they've also got the pop. I'd say as a whole, the album is much more on the pop side. I was saying to you the other day, it reminds me slightly of The Delays, although I'd say it's got a little bit more depth than that.
I was just going to say...
The Delays are a good band, but they may be...
We were discussing that, weren't we, the other day? We were discussing this band and...
Maybe The Delays were all in a similar genre, though, I'd say, you know, or similar sound, whereas Kidsmoke seem to have a bit more variation, I'd say. But that's just my opinion. But yeah. The Delays, they were a good band. I did see them support the Manics years ago. Good band. They plunge into painful memories and emotions, capturing tiny moments of euphoria and joy in sepia and the humour that punches our sheer pomposity. Kidsmoke's endlessly infectious sound with layers that peel back on each listen could easily fit on any radio station playlist at any point in the last 30 years. Probably hyperbole here, but you know. This is what Kidsmoke do. They craft and burnish moments that capture tiny glimmers of light in times of darkness. I'm doing it again. And by God, do we need that now? Yeah, so I said it was an absolute triumph as well. Yeah, so I just think it's a brilliant album. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say it's challenging necessarily, but it's just a really good guitar pop album. What more can you say?
What more do you want? Exactly.
Want?
I mean, you know me and my guitars. But yeah, no, I think, like you said, there is that kind of really good contrast of it being kind of the melancholy, but then also quite uplifting. And there's kind of a good light and shade from the album, which is what I really liked about it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I've listened to that a couple of times now, especially after your review, Bill. And it is a really good album. I think when we've talked about it, when you said it, The Delays, it is kind of like that because there's this kind of undercurrent of sort of melancholy, but it's quite sort of dream pop as well. And that kind of similar kind of vocals.
I've been listening to a lot of Prefab Sprout recently, and I can see there's an element of that as well because they had like the male and the female voice, and I think Kidsmoke have got that as well. So it's kind of that double hander and that ability to switch between male and female vocal, which gives them a light and shade and a contrast. Yeah. And they're a really good band live as well. So
I'd
recommend Kidsmoke. If you haven't heard of Kidsmoke, check out Kidsmoke. So back to you now, I believe.
To me. I think my next one is Silver Sun. Yeah. The album is Switzerland, and this song is Big Wheel.
Keep your peace forever and get on the big wheel.
Yeah, obviously, this we had them on, well, I'd say they. It is Silver Sun, and they were from the 90s, and they were a five-piece band from the 90s. But the main sort of songwriter and lyricist, James Broad, has sort of carried it on under the moniker, but has sort of done two, a bit few and far between, but then it'll take him quite a long time to do it when it's all on his own. This album, Switzerland, has had a few of the original members because they did they sort of reunited and did a couple of gigs with Sleeper. A bit before Sleeper's album came out. And so, I mean, obviously, it's not been quite the fanfare of Silver Sun because they weren't as big a band. But this is such a massive return to form, as far as I'm concerned. Not that anything he's done since sort of the late 90s hasn't been good, but this is great. And so, some brilliant, brilliant songwriting, random, bizarre sort of abstract lyrics, which don't really mean anything. But there's other great songs in there, especially Fireworks. Where I think basically one of the lyrics is about the fact that if it's not Cathedral City, there'll be fireworks. And things like, you know, referring to cheese. He does talk about cheese quite a lot. I think he must be a big fan. But they're just, he does certainly say this weird, abstract, sort of slightly avant-garde, bonkers stuff to this very, it's kind of like classic American 90s pop, guitar pop, really, but done in quite an English way. And they say this is just a massive return to form. And I've listened to this album a lot. Because it's a summer, they're a summer band, and they've always been their first three albums in the 90s were soundtracks to my summers in 97 and 98, and this is 99, and this is no different. Once I get back in the garden,
I just realized we put Kid Smoke and Silver Sun together. There is a bit of a contrast, although I'd say the riffs on this are more like 70s riffs, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's a bit harder than Kid Smoke, I'd say, probably
very much. Yeah, it is.
But they are in that power pop like spectrum, aren't they?
He's always, he's not, you know, it's not varied, you know, he's not moved away from
they've got their own sort of sound, haven't they, Silver Sun, when you think of them.
His style of vocal and everything, you say, is sort of quite a nice mix of sort of an English sort of slightly Americanized, but
sometimes that's comforting though, isn't it? When you like a band and you like the sound.
That's it.
It's like I think Suede are a bit like that for me because I always go back to them and listen. It's like they do kind of try and push themselves, but they've always got that kind of sound. But it's kind of comforting in a way. You can go back to something that you like. Do you know what I mean? You like the sound of, and you can just go back. Just like, it's just like putting a new pair, like an old pair of slippers on, isn't it, or something? I don't know.
But that's it. It's the sound of, it's just person's the way someone sings or something like that. Yeah. It's just, you know, very nostalgic sort of. And it is a bit roasting too. But having said that, it's really nice when a band or even just an artist in this case bring something out that's so strong again. Because sometimes you go,
That's kind of why I was bringing it, like Suede into it, because they're one of the few 90s bands I can think of, like, who brought out albums that kind of like, you know, still stand up next to some of their stuff.
Yeah, well, definitely. For me, this definitely stands up with those first two albums. I mean, the first is the eponymous is a Stonewall classic as far as I'm concerned. This is getting back up to the very best that he's ever done. So it's just that I really would quite like a physical release of this, but I don't think that's ever likely to happen. No. Fortunately.
Okay. Islet and Good Grief.
Touch them.
I was going to pick, there's another track called Clouds, which is probably the most poppy thing on it. But I wanted something a bit more like that reflects their kind of weird, noisy side. And this probably does that. Good Grief is inspired by the history of generations of women, apparently. And the album Islet in itself is a really interesting album that kind of goes, I put it, course with perpetual motion and meditative depth and like undercurrents of water that flow through the Welsh hills of their home, you know, elemental, hypnotic and spiritual, the cycle of life from birth to death. Yeah. So it's quite a spiritual element to, I think. And I think Emma has definitely come into her own on this album because she usually they're like a three-way vocalist band. But she's definitely become like the sort of front woman, de facto front woman on this album.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different shades to it. There are more poppier elements. It's still quite an experimental album, but it's also a bit of an escapist album, I'd say. And, you know, the fact that they're Welsh and I know them, it doesn't impact me, but I do, you know, you get to see a band up close, don't you? And sometimes you get more into what they're trying to do. And I like the fact that they kind of change and progress all the time. And they've got their own solo things as well. They're very interesting people, you know.
The album's very varied, isn't it? Because this song, I'm getting quite a kind of Everything But The Girl kind of feel, quite a Tracy Thorn vocal.
I put almost
trip-hoppy sound underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not indicative of the whole album. And it's quite... No. This is a bit more of an immediate pop song, isn't it? Because I think... Was it Geese that we had was about nine minutes long?
Yeah, it's quite long.
This is considerably shorter. And
yeah, the rest of the tracks are quite short. They are.
Yeah, okay.
There's another one called Clouds I was going to pick. I was thinking of picking because it's quite poppy. It's almost like Madonna Ray of Light, almost, the track Clouds. But yeah, there's a lot of textures on it as an album. And it's, it's quite a spiritual element to it, I think. Oh. Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of like that hypnotic. I think I probably used that word when reviewing the other song, but quite a hypnotic. Almost like a mantra kind of thing.
Yeah,
almost. It's quite. But yeah, I do quite like this. I think, to be honest, for me, the album was a bit much in one sitting.
Mm.
I don't know why. I don't know, but a lot of the individual songs I do enjoy, and this, Good Grief.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, because there's a lot of ideas on there, kind of crammed into one.
Sometimes as well.
It is, yeah, it is. I suppose because I'm sort of used to their frantic imaginations. I'm kind of used to. I've seen them live so many times, and they're such a good live band that they've never quite got it onto record. But this gets about near as Damn It, and it's also a different sound for them as well, which is interesting, you know. It's got those more electronic textures to it, you know. And it's quite, I mean, I think they started doing like sort of half and half sets where like it was half guitars, half electronic sounds and stuff. I Focus Wales last year, which it's been postponed this year. So I'm going to wait until next October now to go to Focus Wales again.
It's quite weird because
I definitely recommend Focus Wales as well if you ever, you know, you ever fancy going to a festival. A city festival. It's a bit like, you know, remember In the City in Manchester or The Great Escape, you know, it's like in...
Like Dr. Dot.
Yeah, you know, you just...
Dr. Dot to Bristol,
yeah. It's definitely worth it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Just a weird place to go Wrexham.
One of the things about this band as well is it's kind of a bit like I saw the Working Men's Club stream on Friday and obviously reviewed it for God Is in the TV. And they kind of they sort of bridge that gap between having, kind of like that guitar sort of new order. They remind me of New Order quite a lot, Working Men's Club, in that way. But they do kind of manage to mix that together quite well in a set. So, but like if you say they have to sort of split it for Islet's live sets, but they kind of manage to sort of mix it up quite well when I've seen them before and in the stream. So it's weird, isn't it, when they have quite disparate sides to their sound. But
yeah.
They're quite an interesting band.
So if you fancy something a bit more experimental than out there, I'd say then check out Islet, which is EYELET, and it's on Fire Recording. So back to you now, Jim, for your next album. We've only got a few left now.
We've got a couple, only a couple, well, for this episode anyway. We've got my next one is Ghost Poet and I Grow Tired But Dare Not Sleep. And this is the opening track from the album called Breaking Cover.
Thank you.
I'm sort of fairly new to Ghost Poet, really. He's been obviously around and done quite a few tracks, and quite a few albums, should I say, for quite a few years now. But he kind of went towards the live band kind of feel, from away from the sample things, with his album a few years ago called Shedding Skin. And then the last album, Dark Days and Canapes, was great, and one of the albums of the year from, must be 2018 now, because obviously this one's come out, I Go to Den, I Sleep, which is quite it's, you know, he does dark and he does kind of that kind of dusk feel anyway. But it's, this is kind of quite a bit of sort of a step on as far as the darkness is concerned. I think it's indicative of the time that it's been written in. But I just really like his kind of, he doesn't really like to be pigeonholed as a genre, but there's very much a sort of a trip hoppy thing. He's very kind of Portishead like in some respects, but obviously the different kind of vocal delivery coming from him. But
Massive Attack, kind of, would you say as well?
Yeah, it's kind of Massive Attack-y, but then they obviously have their own vocals and stuff. But yeah, it depends who's doing it. Sort of almost Tricky esque ish. Mm-hmm. If you're going to kind of try and pigeonhole him, but he doesn't like it, and I don't.
It's also
want
blues though, as well, isn't there?
Well, it's this, is it? Yeah, there is kind of that feel, and
it's hard to pigeonhole things, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like this as an album opener, and it's just it's a bit different as well, I just really like him. It's sort of a bit off the beaten track for me, really, from my normal. Things that I like, but I don't know. It's probably because it's more of a live feel than you get with a lot of kind of. It's not well. People try and pigeonhole as hip hop, and he's obviously not because he doesn't really rap. So it's more of a spoken word almost kind of thing. And I just really like his delivery. It's kind of laconic. I mean, it's not lazy, but it's just quite soothing as well. I don't want to use the word soporific because it doesn't send me to sleep, but it's nice. It's just really gentle and kind of, but his subject matter is quite weighty, so there's kind of a nice balance.
Yeah, this one as well, it's almost like he was climbing out of a dark hole. I felt like it was very prescient, and the guitars are quite sinister, and there's like that kind of vocal he gives off is quite paranoid, but also like you said, very sincere and soothing at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of like a hypnotic chant almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a bit of a danger when you say he's hip hop, just because he's a black guy, just because, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I mean. He's not. And he gets.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's
just ridiculous. Thing. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? You know, saying he's hip hop. But I mean, you know, obviously that's, you know, that culture is an influence and everything's an influence of something, isn't it? But it's hard to. It's a difficult one with genres because as a music journalist, you've got to use them to an extent because otherwise how do you describe, you'd have to describe every genre in intricate detail, wouldn't you? If you, you know, it didn't use any genre tags, but
that's
yeah.
What I'd almost say.
Sometimes it is a pigeonhole because most of the best artists are like a mixture of things, aren't they? Really?
No, I said I'd never use hip-hop as a genre. Say trip-hop.
Yeah.
But
I was just picking up on the point you made as people. I wasn't saying you were.
It's more like him plays his poetry set to music.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a grower, and yeah, it's an album. You just sit down and listen to an album. It's hard to pick something off it. So I kind of went for the first track, and it wasn't an obvious single.
Which
as
is
well.
Quite a rarity these days, isn't it? In the days of playlists and stuff.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's sort of being obviously a massive fan of the album, as we are as a thing. It's important that it is celebrated as well, and the fact that people are still trying to make it and make it relevant. Is it your last one now?
This is Waxahachie with Fire.
That's what I wanted. It's not as
something. It ain't enough. It ain't enough. I take it for granted. If I could love you unconditionally, I could iron out the edges of the darkest sky. For some of us, it ain't enough. It ain't enough.
Waxahachie, I kind of was aware of them like years ago. I heard a few tracks and I kind of recommended a few tracks. Waxahachie is Katie Crutchfield. She's an American artist, and this is from her new album, St. Cloud, which is, I believe, her fifth album. So she's been around quite a while. And I just love this song especially caught me. I just love how subtle it is and the bass line. The bass line is quite forgiving, and I love how contemplative it is, subtle it is, how keen in it is, how reflective it is. She says it's a song about forgiving and loving yourself. And I just really got that kind of stark moment of like personal clarity from it, I think. And yeah, I just love it. And then I checked out the album, and it's all in that kind of vein. And I almost got, she talks about West Memphis being on fire, and I just saw Mum's got like, because it's a really personal song. Then I suddenly got like, this is actually about Trump's America, you know? I don't know why I got that. I just suddenly got, you know, with all the like political upheaval in America and all that, you know, and how the fabric of society is being torn apart by this Trump government and stuff, you know, how it's like so divisive over there, you know, and just the feeling that things are, you know, are not quite right over there, you know, Black Lives Matters. There's all sorts of issues in America that are wrong. There's a lot of inequality over there. Obviously, at the moment with this pandemic, that's becoming worse, you know, unemployment. I just suddenly got this thing of when she sung that, I was just like, wow, this is actually also, as well as being really a personal song about forgiving yourself and stuff, this is actually about America itself, you know. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but I suddenly got this moment of, yeah, wow. Her vocals are interesting because they're kind of on that edge of like sharp, and it's kind of like it could be annoying, but it's just really poignant the way she sort of almost belts it out, you know, like she's on this sort of top register almost.
It's almost like, for me, it's like an American version, as if they cross Keris Matthews and Lily Allen.
A little bit.
It's kind of weird.
She's kind of in a sharp, she's on a sharp sort of edge, but it's an interesting singing style. It's different.
I do quite enjoy
it. It's almost like a cry, isn't it? Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I listened to the rest of the album and it's quite Americana, and I'm not really usually a big, massive Americana fan, but I just thought it was really strong. And, you know, you were talking about Phoebe Bridges and stuff, and just this album had more, it just had a bit more depth in terms of what it was trying to say about the world, I guess, for me at that point. So I thought I'd include it. You know, it might not make my 10 at the end of the year, but I really like it. And
no, it's one of the ones that I picked up with the hype from when it first came out.
I noticed there was a lot of hype about it. And I just like how subtle it is as well. It could ease, and it kind of envelops you and kind of, it kind of builds gradually. It doesn't like show you everything straight away. No. And I love that. It just sort of, it's got like wandering bass lines and like clip percussion and, but her voice then, it's like a cry of almost like frustration. And I can feel the frustration from herself. But then, as I say, I was like making it widescreen as well. You know what I mean? America is kind of on fire. And it could become annoying, but it's kind of, there's a rein in, you know, for an emotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Over to you. I believe this is the last. Yeah, the last track. Best albums of the year so far podcast. Special.
Part one. So the last one of my choices, so from my first five of my 10, in no particular order, but this is Happy Accidents from the album Sprawling, and this is the album opener, Hole. Grow,
yeah.
The first single, well, it's not the first thing, it's the second single from the album, after Secrets. But that was the first thing I heard, just randomly heard it, and then picked up on the album because I really like Secrets as well. And it might be, I think it's going to be very difficult to push this out of my top five, let alone top 10 for the year. I absolutely love this album. It's pop perfection. There's not a bad song on this whole record. Every one of them is brilliant. I think I was probably stingy with my 8 out of 10 I gave it after only listening to it a couple of times.
That's not stingy, that's a great score.
But I think I was. It's more of a 9.
Sometimes you feel like you want to give it a 9, don't you? Because it's like I gave Islet a 9 because it's like you feel like you love an album so much you just want to give it that extra.
Subsequently. No, but I love this album, Sprawling. It's up there. It's pushing for the number one spot at the moment because it's almost flawless, actually, as far as there's nothing bad on it at all. Mm. I just love the contradiction of their vocal styles. Yeah. It's just so, you know, almost not saccharine, but it's very kind of perfect, almost choral singing and very high. And then he's almost like this weird Oliver Twist thing. It's kind of very nice, almost Nancy. And then you've got a street urchin singing, not to sort of be derogatory, but it's kind of that very street sounding, you know, almost it's very London type of way of, you know, singing that he does. And it's just brilliant. I love the contradiction.
Not Sid and Nancy then.
not Sid and Nancy, no.
Nancy from Oliver Twist, yeah.
But it's just really nice, and it is. I love this album, and it's better, in my opinion, much better than their previous albums, which are very just kind of pop punky. And this is very kind of stripped back, and it's just him and her, you know, guitar and drums, almost, you know, without
using. A bit more considered songwriting.
Very considered, considered way of recording. There's only so much instrumentation there because maybe there's only two of them anyway, but everything that's there is there for a reason. There's a lot of space, there's gaps, but there's the right amount of instrumentation. The fact that their vocals work so well together, even though they're so completely disparate, and there's nothing bad about this record at all. Have you listened to this album?
Just the tracks you've recommended, unfortunately. I haven't got around to... I think I did have a little listen when you recommended them last time. I did like it, yeah. And I like this one. It's quite... Her voice is quite pretty, I thought. And
then exactly, yeah.
The contrast with him, yeah. And then it kind of swells up nicely. Yes. I like this one a lot, actually, yeah. And I definitely going to investigate more. So many albums are released, aren't there?
Exactly.
It's hard to... I mean, sometimes I look through, like, what is critically acclaimed, but then when I listen to it, I'm a bit like, it doesn't really sit with me, you know?
No, so. Exactly.
Critical consensus is all very well, isn't it? But it can lead to sort of boring choices, really, in a way. I much prefer this kind of thing where we're like recommending things like personally rather than, just to follow a sort of like, you know, a critical consensus that everyone's sort of tipping, you know. It's a bit boring, isn't it, after a while.
How many of these are going to end up in a top 10 of the big hitters?
Two or three of these for me, I think.
Maybe.
But, you know, that of the 10, I don't know, probably 5 or 6, you know, so... Because I do find that it's hard sometimes to include an album that's just come out, isn't it, when you compare to an album you've had for months. It's a different thing sometimes.
Exactly.
But
we've got part 2 still to come.
Part 2 still to come, so eagerly await the next part. Until the next time, you've been listening to Show Me Magic, an Albums of the Year special, part 1, where we've been discussing our favourite albums of the year. In the next part, we'll discuss our next 5 albums. Have a good week, Jim.
Cheers, you too, Bill.
Bye.
Bye.
Ta-da.
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is in the TV recommend show. Check out more on godisinthetvzine.co.uk. We're on our Twitter page, God Is in the TV. We're also on Facebook, God Is in the TV Zine, with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, ta-da.